Well, good morning to you. I want to welcome you back to the God School. As the title says, this is a communion. It's going to be longer than usual. But it's done for the purposes of making understandable and bringing discernment to these elements of which we participate at this table of grace. Now, we're in that time of the year, the fall, wherein God had set forth some of his feast days. Those being the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. Today, I want to speak to the meaning of the feast, the set time of God called the Feast of Atonement, and what it means to Christians, to those of us through the gift of faith, by the grace of God, are being saved through faith . I want to look. I want us to look at what God has to say about this Day of Atonement, and again, the context being to the Christian, to those who are in Christ and in whom Christ is. And Christ dwelleth in the heart by faith in our heart. By faith. And faith is grabbing hold of and acting on the promises of God as though they are more real than anything we may encounter. Now, you know, there were certain days appointed to the Jews. You can read about them in the book of Nehemiah, where the people stood and listened to the whole Pentateuch. They stood and listened to the whole Pentateuch being read. So our text today is long. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to read the whole Pentateuch, but bear with me as we give edification and meaning and thereby discernment and thereby understanding to God's word. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, he writes in the 8th chapter, it says, "Now of the things which we have spoken of, this is the sum. We have such an high priest," he's talking about Jesus, "who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the holy things and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man, Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve, listen, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. We're talking eternal things, folks. But God, in an earthly display, tells Moses, it says, "As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, 'See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.' But now has he obtained," Jesus, "has Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better testament," testament, something that can't be changed, "who, which was established on better promises, for if the first had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Listen. Listen to the profoundness of what's being said here. "For finding fault with them, he," that is God, "saith, 'Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.'" I'm not going there today, but boy, does that should just jump off the page to those of you who have ears to hear. "Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." We read on, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities, I will, God speaking, remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he has made the first old. What's the first covenant? The law? The new covenant, the gospel, the righteous by faith shall live. He has made the first old. Now, that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. We continue, the ninth chapter. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances and divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Religious stuff, folks. I hope you've been listening to previous messages. If you haven't, go back. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table of showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, that's the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. These are this manna, that which God gave, the Aaron's rod that budded from dead death to life, and the tables of the covenant, that is, those that were written in stone, we call them the Ten Commandments, which Christ only kept perfectly. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. We're going to get to that. Paul says, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Today we're going to. It says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest always went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Listen, not without blood. Once a year, that's the Day of Atonement, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, well, as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure, a parable for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service, religious acts, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to conscience. They still knew They were sinners. That's why they had to come back every year, once a year. Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances, prescribed rites and ceremonies, religious activities. Religious activities can't make you perfect. And carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. That Greek word means to straighten thoroughly. You should write a note in your Bible. But Christ, being common high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not of that tabernacle, which Moses was given instruction and followed the instruction and did build, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption, complete purchase for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We skip to the 22nd verse and it says, let's go to the 21st verse. No, let's just read on. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, we could translate that, was purified without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water and scarlet and wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament, which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission or removal. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures or types or shadows of the true, but the heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it's an unusual day of the week for me to be doing this school, but today is, according to the Hebrew calendar, the Feast of Atonement. I just want to share a little Hebrew with you. So, the day is called Yom Kippur, Day Kippur, and that word Kippur is translated atonement. It's a masculine noun. It comes from the Hebrew word kafar. The verb. Nouns are usually products of verbs. And in this case, the word kafur, kafar, here's what it means. It means to cover, to purge, to make an atonement, make reconciliation, to cover over, to coat or cover, to cover over, to pacify, propitiate, to cover over, atone for sin, make atonement for, to cover over, atone for sin and persons by legal rights, to be covered over, to make atonement for. In your Strong's Concordance, that word kafar is number 3722. The word kippur is 3725. There's one more Hebrew word I want to give to you. And that is the word Kappareth. Now that's Strong's 3727. You see how all the words are related. This is a noun also. It means mercy seat. It means place of atonement. I'm going to share this with you. The description. The golden plate of propitiation on which the high priest sprinkled the blood seven times on the Day of Atonement, symbolically reconciling Jehovah with his chosen people. Leviticus, I told you there's a lot of text, folks. We'll get to the message and meaning. We're giving a lot of meaning already. Hopefully soon. Leviticus 16 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. They took in strange fire." They took in something that was other than how God had ordered it. They took in something they made. God have mercy on religious, self-righteous people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times unto the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark," the mercy seat, Kappareth, "which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." Sixth verse says, "And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house, we could get into the story of the scapegoat today, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to try to save you. In the 15th verse of Leviticus 16, it says, "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, Kappareth, and before the mercy seat." And verse 21 says, "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat," that's the scapegoat, "and confess over them," listen, "all the iniquity of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited, That is cut off, that is separated. And he shall let the goat go into the wilderness. I want you to remember. This was done for a chosen people, a destined people, a separated and sanctified and led people whom God used as an example. A faithful people who still needed grace and recognized a payment was still due for their sins. That which is due is death. And Christ died in our place. And sin is removed. I want to just give some definitions to a few words. It says in the 21st verse, all the iniquities. The word, its meaning means perversities, evil. Transgression. Listen, it means rebellion. It means to revolt. You say, well, Don, I'm not any pervert. And I'm not rebellious. No, please. Don't talk to me. Tell that to God. But if by chance those words be true, the word sin means an offense. It means sometimes an habitual offense. It means sinfulness. It means to be an offender. It means to miss. Romans 3rd chapter says, all have sinned. Hamartia is the Greek word. It means to fall short. None qualify. And it says in that 22nd verse, and the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. Isaiah 53. King James translation. Who has believed our report? We've just given a report in the type and shadow and parable of the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16 and the fulfillment thereof in substance, Jesus Christ in the 8th and 9th chapters of the book of Hebrews. And Isaiah says, who has believed our report? No. It says, who has amened our report? That word, amen, it's the most transliterated word in any language. So often misunderstood so be it. No. It says of God, the faithful God, the Hebrew says, the amen God, in God there is no doubt, God spoke. And nothing became everything. He didn't scratch his head and say, I wonder if I speak it. He said, light be, and there was light. No doubt. Who has amended our report? Speaking of Jesus and that which was to come, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. The alternative is, and he, as it were, hid his face from us. He was despised. And we esteemed him not. King James reads, surely he has borne. Same word. He'll bear the iniquities in Leviticus 16. Same words in Hebrews. He bear. Offered to bear the sins of many. How does that play out? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him, that is, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all, and he offered to bear our iniquity. The type of the goat, he bore the iniquity of the people. And the meaning of this cup at this table of grace, through the Word of God, gives us the understanding. The cup of wine, it's a symbol of the blood. The blood, if we went and read the 17th chapter of Leviticus, it says, the life of the soul is in the blood. The cup of wine symbolizes the blood. The blood symbolizes the life. That which was given for us, a life worth more than the whole world put together in terms of value to God. On this Day of Atonement. On any day, because 1 Corinthians 11 says, Now, rather than once a year, it says, as oft as you come. We do this in memory of Him, that is Jesus Christ. And we are covered by the blood. Our sins been atoned for. We have been reconciled. It says in the fifth chapter of Romans, God who is in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. I'm not finished here, but I'm on a roll, folks. I hope you think so. If you do, when this message is finished, I'd sure like to hear from you. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Not, we didn't earn it. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us. In that, while we were yet sinners, and as long as we're in the body, in this body, this flesh, we need to recognize we are sinners. Not because we sin because we are sinners, but at the same time, and in response to by God's grace, Christ died for us. Will you take this cup with me? And through looking through this cup, and by the word of God, lift the cup this day and any other time you're so moved to come to this table of grace of unmerited favor, and recognize Christ Jesus, who gave His life, a price sufficient to buy up the whole world, but He paid it for you. And for me, take the cup, thanking God for His grace. Amen. There's two elements at the table of the Lord. There's two elements at this communion table. Because one concentrates on a particular need. That is our need to have our sins forgiven, but not as often recognized. Jesus went beyond. Paying the price for redemption, as we would properly read Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne, taken upon himself, our holy is the Hebrew word. It's translated sickness, disease, infirmity. 29 times that word is used in the Old Testament. 28 translated sickness, disease, or infirmity. Only here do the translators use the word grief. And carried our, King James says, sorrows. No, the word is machab. It means pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God. The same word is used when God smote Miriam for criticizing God's domitar to his people at that time, Moses, or attempting to lift herself up on an equal plane when God had not put her there. God smote her with leprosy. Through prayers and God's mercy, he eventually removed it. But it's the same word. But it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement, the word means that which musar is the Hebrew word. It means that which was required to restore that which was lost or a lost inheritance. It says the chastisement of our peace, shalom, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Life of Jesus Christ, which was given for us. We are reconciled unto God. But what Isaiah is describing, Jesus went beyond. The word is the chastisement of our shalom. It means wholeness. It means well-being. I want to add just one more little thing in here. In the ancient Hebrew, this word shalom, spelt no vowels, it's shin, lamed, vav, mem. In the ancient Hebrew, it was a picture language. If you had the knowledge of the language, you did not need a dictionary. The letters of the word defined what the word was. And in this instance, the word shalom means to destroy the authority that binds us to chaos. Jesus Christ destroyed the authority, that is, the authority of the God of this world who binds us to chaos. That's peace. And in Jesus Christ, we have peace. And we have well-being, and we have wholeness as we take this bread. We, by our mouth, speak it, because our heart amens it. With his stripes, we were healed. Take it in Jesus. Amen.